Hello and welcome to Are You Well? In this week's show, I'd like to take our attention towards heavy metals and how they get into our food and the impact of heavy metals on adults and children and how actually we can reduce our chances of getting exposed to heavy metals through food. As I'm sure many of you will have heard that Mad Hatter became mad because of the chemicals which were used in hat making. A chemical particularly, mercurous nitrate, which was used in curing. And this prolonged exposure to mercury vapors caused poisoning, and this is why, you know, the character Mad Hatter is called Mad Hatter, where the heavy metals contributed towards making him mad. Well, that's a nice story to kind of take our attention towards how, you know, heavy metals can have an impact on our cognition, our mental behavior and mind. And that, while is just a story, the truth is that we might actually be exposing ourselves to these heavy metals on a daily basis, becoming a little bit like a Mad Hatter if we don't pay attention to the way we choose our food and the way we prepare them. But then you might ask, in an industrialized society where everything is so very heavily regulated, how is it even possible for us to have foods which may contain heavy metals? Well, the reason why we are exposed to heavy metals is because of industrialization and commercial farming. The industrialization and the waste from the industries, they get into the soil. And this is the soil where our foods and crops are grown. And further, these crops are also, when commercially grown, are sprayed with many harmful chemicals. And then it gets into our dinner table. And of course, you know, we are constantly exposed to these heavy metals, despite there are very strict food regulations. And what are the common heavy metals that you could be exposed to when it comes to food? Are arsenic, for example, rice can contain a very large amount of arsenic. Lead, like tinned beans, tinned foods, processed foods. There can be cadmium, you know, which also can get into the soil, like wheat particularly, and also certain fruits. In fact, you know, if one is using certain food colorings, particularly for desserts, there could be other heavy metals like silver. Or, you know, fish can, or even nuts may have barium. They could be mercury, you know, particularly fish, which many of us do know about mercury getting into fish, and therefore the possibility of mercury accumulation if you are eating fish without paying attention to whether it's a mercury-rich fish or not. What happens even if we have small amounts of these heavy metals or exposure to these small amounts of heavy metals? Unless it reaches a toxic level, there may not be any acute symptoms. However, when it does start to accumulate in our body, there can be lots of slow changes. For instance, it can affect our brain, memory loss, lack of concentration, headaches, irritability, depression. There can be digestive symptoms like constipation, nausea, poor appetite. Heavy metals have a particular negative impact on the nervous system because it can damage the nervous system, which can result in numbness and pain in the extremities and constant fatigue or chronic joint pain, chronic muscle pain may also be related to heavy metal exposure. In fact, when there is heavy metal toxicity, one of the things that one would have to look for is high blood pressure. As these heavy metals, they tax the kidneys, it can result in abnormal kidney function or even damage the kidneys. And those who are in the reproductive age, heavy metals can be one of the causes for fertility issues. Like for in case of men, it can decrease sex drive, it can affect sperm count or reduce a sperm count, can also result in sperm abnormalities. And in women, it is known that heavy metal toxicity can actually cause spontaneous miscarriage when they are pregnant. So there are many vast number of symptoms that we might not actually connect to heavy metals, but think it's because of some other health issue. So it is important to pay attention to heavy metals. Let's talk about children whose brain is growing, whose body is growing, and imagine the effect of heavy metal exposure in children. In children, if there is heavy metal toxicity, especially if there are acute symptoms or acute toxicity, let's say, then it results in behavioral problems. Over a period of time, if a child is exposed to heavy metals, then it can also affect their IQ. It can result in hearing loss or various types of learning disabilities. And also decreased bone growth, decreased muscle growth, stunting in the growth of a child could be linked to heavy metals. Much like in adults, in children also, heavy metal exposure can result in nervous system damage. Of course, children's kidneys are very sensitive, so these heavy metals can have a horrendous effect on the kidneys, thus resulting in damaging the kidney functions. And anemia. Often, you know, when there is lead toxicity, it can result in anemia. So there are many different signs that the body would start to show when there is an underlying cause of heavy metal exposure. I'm going to be talking to you in the show about the most common heavy metals that gets into the food. It's not about just avoiding the food that's the solution, but how to process or how to prepare your food in order to reduce or remove any heavy metal content that might have been present in these foods. Let's start with rice. Arsenic is usually found in rice, not just in rice, but also in baby rice cereals, rice breakfast cereals, brown rice, white rice. And interestingly, arsenic can also be found in apple juice and grape juice. So when you are considering these food substances, just be aware that there could be arsenic in them. What happens when there is arsenic accumulation is there can be poor energy levels or poor cognitive development or poor cognitive functions if you are an adult. And rice particularly absorbs arsenic more readily than other foods. Although, as I said, you know, it can be found in apple juice or grape juice as well. In fact, 1.8 ppm to 6.5 ppm for half a cup of cooked rice. That's the amount of arsenic that can be found. A rice which is slightly lower in arsenic content is the Indian basmati rice. Interestingly, it's the Indian basmati white rice, white basmati rice. I often used to think that, long grain brown rice is much better than a basmati rice, which is white. Yes, brown rice is better if it is organic and if there is no heavy metals in them. But in general, if you're buying a poor quality of brown rice, it can have 7.4 to 8.4 ppm for half a cup of cooked brown rice. So you have to rethink. I'm not saying don't use brown rice, but it's about finding the right quality of rice. If you are worried about the quality of rice, whether it is white rice or brown rice because of arsenic content, then it is better actually to go for grains which are low in arsenic. Amaranth is low in arsenic. Buckwheat, for instance, is low in arsenic. Millet and quinoa, these are low in arsenic. And also barley and oats, they are low in arsenic.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, as you can see, you would have to really be quite careful in how you choose your grains. Then, let's say, should I then avoid these possibly arsenic-rich foods? No, if we start to look at avoiding any food and every food which has some kind of downfall, either because it has anti-nutrients or pollutants or adulterants or these heavy metals, it would almost be like you can't eat anything. But it is very important, therefore, to learn how to reduce or remove these anti-nutrients and pollutants from your food. That's where an interest in cooking can be very, very helpful. The solution is you rinse raw rice thoroughly before cooking. So I always suggest to my patients that soak rice. Soak rice for at least about 3 hours. And when you soak rice in plenty of water, you are washing away the anti-nutrients. And then after soaking, rinse before you start cooking. And also rinse several times. When I first learned how to cook rice, maybe as a child, I always would imitate what others in the household did. And I would notice how many times they washed the rice. It was like 4, 5, 6 times they rinse rice. And then you would add plenty of water. But, you know, what we do know scientifically is by using 6 parts of water to 1 part of rice by volume. Like if you have 1 cup of rice, which is a lot of rice, you add 6 cups of water. I would say even go beyond that, because at 6 cups of water, when you cook it with 6 cups of water, you are actually going to reduce the amount of anti-nutrients or arsenic. However, if you add even more water, it's better. And then you cook until the rice becomes soft, and then you sieve it through a colander, pass it through a colander or a sieve, and you just leave it for about 5-10 minutes. All the water is drained and you get this nicely cooked, fluffy rice. And that would be a very good way to reduce arsenic getting into our system. And also, when you are cooking, always, you know, make sure that you clean all the vegetables thoroughly. Even if it has come to you cleaned, clean it again thoroughly. And, you know, when it comes to arsenic, something else that I would kind of suggest is, if you're not sure if it is organic or not, if you're using potatoes, to remove the skin. To clean the skin or remove the skin. You know, jacket potato is so delicious when it is done properly. However, if the skin is removed, then you can reduce the chances of arsenic contamination. If it's organic, of course, you know, skin has fiber in it and it is very good for our gut health. So these are some of the ways how you can reduce arsenic content in your food. Lead is another heavy metal which gets into our lifestyle so very commonly. The sources of lead are canned food, you know, canned beans, vegetables, I mean, canned or tinned beans and or chickpeas and vegetables, fish, and also, you know, if you live in cities like London or Paris, where, you know, there's a long history and old pipes, you know, drinking water system, also from battery, plastic recycling industry, medicines, cosmetics, and sometimes it's also herbal medicines, you know, which can pose the threat of lead exposure. I mean, lipsticks, for instance, you know, lead exposure. And in fact, harmful effects of lead. No amount of lead is acceptable in the system. If it is greater than 0.3 ppm, then that can lead to really harmful effects of lead. It can result in impaired cognitive functions, reduced intelligence and short-term memory loss, disabilities in learning and coordination, and also it can result in anemia. And toxic lead affects millions of people in the world, and particularly children are most vulnerable, especially children under the age of 6. So many existing studies, they estimate that actually children like under the 12 have been found to have a mean blood level of 10 micrograms per deciliter, which is twice the levels of what can be found in children in some of the developed countries compared to some of the developing countries. So if lead is available, the body confuses it with the more essential elements like calcium and begins using lead to make bones, muscles, brain connections, etc. So lead is a really tricky, cheating heavy metal, because the body thinks it's a nutrient, and instead of using nutrients, it uses lead to create bones. It uses lead to create connections in the brain. And you can imagine the devastating effects of lead if one has an exposure to these. But then how do we prevent and help in detoxification of lead? Very importantly, always wash hands before eating, even if you use cutlery, because you know sometimes we do pick with our fingers, and especially if children and even as adults, you know, not everything we're going to eat with our fork and knife or a spoon. I must say that actually eating with your hands sometimes is very important. Clean hands, of course, because then you can encourage your cephalic digestion, because once you touch the food, then your brain picks up those messages, textures, and starts to help in better digestion. One of the problems with poor absorption with food could be also because we do not encourage a cephalic digestion. We look at food, we smell it, but then we don't engage the another most important sensory organ, our touch, to stimulate digestion. So always wash your hands and use high quality water filter for drinking and cooking. Yes, I know that, you know, many times even I do this, tap water is fine. You go to a restaurant, you ask for tap water because you may have to pay a little bit more for good water. I'm not saying that plastic bottled water is healthy, but, you know, filtered water. So when you are at home, make sure that you drink filtered water. I mean, in fact, you know that if you don't use filtered water and you use tap water, let's say in your kettle or in your ironing box, how it forms those scales. Can you imagine the same thing would be happening in our system too? Although our body is not like a kettle or an iron box. We have a detoxification system, but we are exposing ourselves to these sediments. That's what I mean to say. Then clean surfaces and objects to prevent lead exposure through dust. There can be a lot of lead exposure to through dust. And I've noticed that, you know, this post-COVID, because construction work is one thing that was allowed, there's such a lot of construction and road repairs that are happening all the time in a city like London where I live. And I'm sure wherever you are, you can see more and more construction work happening. Can you see like how much of lead we might be getting through dust? So it's very important to clean the surfaces. A dust-free house, cleaning the surfaces is very, very essential, not just for viruses, but also to prevent lead, which actually gets to us through dust. Remove shoes before entering the home. You know, this is a fantastic Asian value, a South Asian value that I am so grateful for, because walking with your shoes anywhere and everywhere where you have used the public transport, the road, and then coming to the house and walking with the same shoes, you are exposing yourself to many contaminants. So remove the shoes the moment you walk into the house from outside, and wear a house shoes, you know, which you are, or house slippers, which you're going to use at home. And calcium rich foods, including green leafy vegetables, like calcium keeps bones strong and keeps lead out. So calcium is very important. So you can use green leafy vegetables. You know, if you are sensitive to dairy, if you don't drink, let's say, milk. I don't drink calf's milk, but I do eat cheese. So I am getting my calcium. But, you know, if you're somebody who's vegan and you don't use dairy, then don't worry. You know, all green leafy vegetables are rich in calcium, and you are getting those good amounts of calcium through your vegetables. And that is very important to combat possible lead exposure. Iron-rich foods, you know, such as lentils, beans, and even lean meat, you know, these are very important in your diet. You can use iron to block lead absorption. In the absence of iron, lead gets absorbed easily. So, you know, making sure that you have got good sources of iron in your diet is important. Vitamin C rich foods will also help in better iron absorption. I mean, in fact, you know, when you take iron, you may not actually absorb it properly unless there is sufficient catalyst like vitamin C. Therefore, you know, in Ayurveda, I, for my patients, recommend a combination called Trifala, which has Haritaki, Bibitaki, Amaraki, the three myrobalans, and these are very high antioxidants. And these particularly contain one component, which is Amaraki, Indian gooseberry. And Indian gooseberry, it has 400 times more vitamin C than an orange. And Indian gooseberry, when the seeds are dried and if it is not exposed to heat, then it can be a very good agent to help in better iron absorption. There are many studies where when you give vitamin C along with Indian gooseberry amla, that the iron absorption becomes better. So these are ways how we can make sure that we are detoxifying heavy metals on a regular basis. And cilantro, chlorella, spirulina, you know, all these greens which have this chlorophyll, like about 1 to 4 grams per day can help excrete lead. I mean, in fact, if you take about, let's say, a teaspoon of cilantro or chlorella or spirulina, or let's say a combination of the super greens in your smoothie with water per day, you are immediately helping the body excrete lead. So there are many different ways how we can prevent ourselves from being exposed to lead toxicity and also encouraging our body to detoxify lead if at all it gets into our system. Cadmium is another heavy metal that can get into our food and then start to affect our body, our nervous system, our digestive system. Particularly, you know, cadmium is found in oysters and mussels. So if you like seafood, then yeah, you need to be careful about possible cadmium contamination. Also, organ meats can have cadmium. Fish, yeah, much like mercury, you know, fish can also have cadmium. And interestingly, wheat and rice. Rice can have cadmium. Wheat can have cadmium. So what are the possible adverse effects if cadmium gets into the system, particularly if it's more than 5 ppm, then it is dangerous. It can result in thyroid issues. And many times we think that, you know, thyroid issues are because of hypothyroidism and that taking thyroxine is a solution. Yes, of course, it can be a solution, but what if the underlying cause is heavy metal toxicity? That's when, you know, doing a heavy metal panel would be helpful, which I do in my clinic, especially in those where I suspect there is possible environmental toxin exposure. It's not necessary for everyone to have it done, but where it is necessary, it's a very helpful test to do. Oh, this can result in brittle bones, you know, cadmium. Cadmium along with lead toxicity can result in neurodevelopmental issues in children. There can be bone pain, you know, in adults, also in children as well, when there's cadmium. There can be breathing problems and there can be cognitive deficit. So these are the signs to look for and to see if the source could be cadmium. Then you need to just kind of see how often you eat oysters or mussels or wheat, rice, organ meat or fish. You know, all of them are good when they're eaten properly, particularly even organ meats, a lot more helpful in changing our gut microbiome than eating the flesh, you know, I mean, in the sense the muscle tissue. Often when we talk about non-vegetarian food, we really are talking about eating the muscles of these animals, but we don't really focus on organ meat. If anything, our ancestors were largely eating organ meat and they would be using offal, and it's organ meat which has a lot of positive benefits in changing our gut microbiome, reducing inflammation. But most of us who just go to the supermarket and buy meat would be eating chicken breast or lamb and beef, which are not necessarily organ meat. Although, yes, it's very helpful, but one need to be really careful about the source of it because there could be cadmium contamination. What's the solution then if you are eating these foods? It's important then to have certain nutrients or nutritional supplements or foods which are rich in zinc, rich in iron, selenium, magnesium, and calcium, and vitamin C, vitamin B1 and B6, vitamin E. These are the vitamins which would help in detoxifying cadmium. So can you use any of the spices? Yes, you know, you can use garlic, you can use ginger, you can use curry leaves and turmeric. You know, curry leaves is something that you may not be very familiar with, but if you do go and explore a South Asian shop, particularly Indian or Sri Lankan shops, they'll have in the fresh produce section curry leaves. You can also find desiccated curry leaf powder, which you can add to your food. And curry leaves is very good in detoxifying. I'm not really talking about curry powder, pre-mixed curry powder that you get in supermarkets, which you use for making curry occasionally. No, actual curry leaves. Curry leaves are curry leaves powder, not curry powder. This can be quite useful in helping in detoxification. Not just cadmium, curry leaves can be helpful in detoxifying many other anti-nutrients. And regular use of garlic, regular use of ginger becomes very much necessary. And while, you know, you are going to be looking at all these foods and nutrients, nutritional supplements and detoxifying agents, natural detoxifying agents, something to remember is, again, the importance of gut microbiome. If there is good gut microbial environment, our body's ability to detox heavy metals through exposure from food will be far better. So then to look at increasing good gut microbiome, how, you know, by using fermented foods and fermented foods which are not high in sugar, obviously, and also by taking good probiotics. So let me talk a little bit about how you can use certain probiotics to improve your gut health so that you can detoxify heavy metals that we obviously would be exposed to some extent or the other. For lead and cadmium and also many other heavy metals, it is important to really have the proper vegetables and fruits which can help with detoxification. Of course, you know, we can say eat a variety of vegetables and fruits, but let's look at, you know, which of these vegetables and fruits have scientific evidence that they can help in detoxification. Tomatoes, you know, who doesn't use tomatoes? Tomatoes is such a very common vegetable that most of us use in our everyday cooking. Tomatoes, because they are rich in iron, they are rich in calcium, selenium, zinc, vitamin B, and C, and importantly, quercetin. It can really help in detoxifying heavy metals. But here is a word of caution about tomatoes. Because tomatoes can be difficult to digest, especially in some those who don't have good enzymatic production, it is always good to peel the skin of the tomatoes. Also, you know, on the skin is where pesticides and other anti-nutrients, they tend to accumulate. So when you use tomatoes, it's best to soak or immerse tomatoes in boiled water. You know, boil a kettle of water, then put it in a saucepan or in a bowl, and then just, you know, drop tomatoes. And in about few seconds, it becomes soft enough to peel off the skin. And also to de-seed the tomatoes would be a good thing to support with digestion. But tomatoes are a very good source of calcium, iron, selenium, zinc, which will help in detoxification. I would steer away from using tinned tomatoes because you never know what's in it. So always go for fresh tomatoes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And onions, they're rich in selenium, they're rich in quercetin and vitamin B and vitamin C. And garlic is rich in vitamin C and vitamin E. And most importantly, what we need when it comes to detoxifying heavy metals is sulfur-rich compounds. And garlic has that sulfur. So does onion to some extent. So these sulfur-rich foods, they can help in detoxification. They act as binding agents and then they detoxify. So our own kitchen can be a good source of how we can counteract the possible heavy metal exposure through food by using these. And fruits, particularly berries and grapes. Berries, you know, they are rich in essential elements, vitamin C, and catechin, and grapes, they are rich in vitamins. They are rich in some of these polyphenols, which are helpful in detoxification. In fact, I remember that when I visited a French naturopath, a friend of mine a couple of years ago, she had this grapes growing in her backyard, and they were organic and they were with seeds. And all that I did when I was there for about 3 days was to go on a red grapes fasting. And what I did, or what she fed me, she is a French naturopath, and what she fed me was just asked me to eat these seeded grapes along with the seeds, to chew them properly. And then all that I had for about 3 days was just grapes. And it was like grape fasting. You know, I generally tend not to have too many fruits because they are high in fructose, and also for my family history and my ethnic background, I'm prone to diabetes. Therefore, it is not so good for me to have too many fruits all the time. But this fruit fasting or grapes fasting was so excellent that it changed my blood picture. It changed, improved my blood biomarkers. And so there must be a good reason why some naturopaths in Europe do use grapes fasting. I've tried to introduce that into my lifestyle or to my patient population, but the problem is we don't get seeded grapes anymore here. And you can get organic grapes. Of course, you need to get organic grapes, but not, you know, with seeds. And it is the seeds in grapes, you know, that are very helpful. Something else that I would also encourage one to consider when it comes to detoxification, encouraging the kidneys to throw out these unwanted metabolites is nettle, stinging nettle. So you can have a nettle tea. Now, I would say, you know, not just to buy nettle tea, which comes in a tea bag, and to have it once or twice, but actually to go and, forage nettle leaves. Of course, you have to find a place where it is not contaminated, not close to the road or fumes, because nettle, it grows quite immensely and wildly everywhere in Europe and also in London. When I go for walks, I can see nettles everywhere, but I don't use those nettles. You really want nettles which are grown in your garden or where you know that, you know, it is grown properly. And these nettle leaves, you just can use nettle leaves like you do cooked spinach or steamed spinach. Again, I would say it's better to cook rather than steam, because spinach or most of these green leafy vegetables, they're high in oxalates. And so instead of steaming, you cook it in water and discard the water and use spinach or even nettle. If you do exactly that way, you can just have it for your breakfast, scrambled eggs and nettles instead of spinach. Then you are encouraging your detoxification pathways. So there are many different ways how we can use our own backyard, our garden, and fruits and vegetables to counteract the possible effects of these heavy metals that we get exposed through food. And that's why, you know, in Ayurveda, they say the most important principle in diet or nutrition is to eat a variety of foods. So you need to constantly change the kinds of things that you eat, and best would be to go by colors. See, nature has produced these foods in different colors for a reason, that, you know, that's nature's labeling of food. Nature doesn't have barcode, but it has colors. So when you go and choose your foods, particularly vegetables and fruits, which are of multiple colors, and you have three or four or even five colors a day, that's your five for the day. You are also helping not being affected by the anti-nutrients that may naturally be present or have gotten into this food. So these are the ways how we can help ourselves when there is a possibility of heavy metal exposure through food. As most of us know, when we think of heavy metals through food or other sources, we do focus on mercury. That's particularly because of the amount of awareness that we now have due to mercury content in fish. The sources of mercury toxicity are, you know, can be also dental amalgams, no longer, because nowadays composite filling is used. But those of us, you know, who come from the generation where still when we were children, they were using mercury fillings, that can start to leach into the bloodstream after we reach a certain age, as, you know, our gums and the teeth, they start to there'll be wear and tears and they wear off. So there's that possibility. And of course, you know, seafood, mainly fish, and also through water supply, and interestingly, cosmetics again, skin lightening agents, and, you know, instruments like electrodes, batteries, thermometers. We no longer use mercury thermometers, mostly, at least in households. And combustion of fossil fuels, this can result in, you know, mercury getting into mercury exposure, fertilizers and industrial byproducts. So these are also, you know, mercury is also sometimes used as preservatives in certain medications and vaccination. Eh? That's one of the reasons why, certain population or group of people are very worried about vaccination because of the preservatives that are used, particularly these heavy metals. I'm not saying that because of that one should avoid vaccination or not. You know, I'm pro safe vaccination. You know, I'm not anti vaccination or absolutely pro, but, you know, one has to really, there's a time and place for everything, and vaccination also has a time and place. What happens, you know, when someone has exposure to mercury at toxic levels. You know, it can reduce the sense of touch. It can reduce the sense of hearing or vision. Vision can worsen. Loss of appetite, fatigue, you know, constant fatigue, depression, numbness in your skin, you know, hands and feet. There could be memory issues, cognitive issues, and also it can result in tremors and neuromuscular problems. So these are the signs to look for. And obviously, you know, you can't decide whether this is because of mercury by yourself. You would have to see a health professional, a doctor who is specialized in dealing with these. Because detoxification of heavy metals is also something which is very tricky. It can't be done with force. One has to prepare the body, the metabolic systems, metabolic pathways, for the body to detoxify them properly. So all the suggestions that I'm giving, or, you know, how can you use certain foods and vegetables and fruits which can help you avoid or prevent or reduce the risk of these heavy metals having any negative impact on our body. So I'm just encouraging you to really develop good nutritional practices. I'm not saying that, you know, you can become an expert in heavy metal detoxification by listening to this particular show. Clearly not, but you can become aware of it. And then you would need to see a practitioner like myself or others who are able to help you when it is necessary and appropriate. Well, how do you prevent, you know, exposure to mercury or encourage detoxification? Yeah, avoiding mercury-containing foods and mercury-containing products, and you know, become aware of dental amalgams, and do go to a dentist, particularly go to a holistic dentist who is likely to listen to your views on the possibility of mercury having a negative impact, because not all dentists are going to agree with it. So you would have to find a more holistic dentist. Use organic foods and increase sulfur-rich foods, because by using organic foods, you are reducing exposure to most of these contaminants. And I must be very honest that I don't always use everything organic, but I do go for organic when necessary, especially with certain foods which are known to have high mercury content, like fish. Okay, and use organic foods and then increase sulfur-rich foods, you know, which promote clearance of mercury from the body, like eggs, like garlic and onions, as I mentioned, with cadmium. So use onions and garlic, and also egg is a very good sulfur-containing food. And using high-potency multi-strain probiotic. Again, you know, consult a health professional, or, you know, it's okay to take a safe probiotic by yourself. And you must also know that probiotics, they are like placeholders. Like, they act when you are taking them. If you stop them in about 2 weeks, you cannot expect the effect of it to last. Therefore, see a health professional how you can manage your gut health, your detoxification, through taking the right kind of probiotics. And again, you know, detoxifying agents are really the ones which are rich in chlorophyll, like cilantro, chlorella, and apple pectin, you know, which is really good. And these are potent natural chelating agents that helps the body clear the mercury deposits. And trace minerals are very important, because mineralization is what gets affected when we are exposed to these heavy metals. And we anyway are depleted with minerals in our food and our soil. Because even if the food is good, if the soil is deficient of minerals, then it's not going to get into the food. As in many of my other episodes, I've emphasized, it's more important to eat vegetables which are grown on soil rather than hydroponic. Because if you go for looks and uniformity, you are missing the point. Like, when I have traveled or have grown up in certain countries where you don't actually have these uniform looking vegetables, it was fun, because, you know, there were different shapes, there were different colors, and because it was not all standardized and made uniform. But today we are so much in our mind think that every tomato has to look the same, every apple has to look the same, and every vegetable has to look the same and should have, you know, should have this polished surfaces. No, go for foods which are grown on soil, which don't really look uniform. Wash them properly and then use all the tips that I've given in this episode to get the best benefit of it. Trace minerals like selenium and zinc, for instance, you know, Brazil nuts can expose you to some heavy metal toxicity, but if you buy organic Brazil nuts, the selenium content in it and also the zinc content in it will be fantastic to help with detoxification. So selenium and zinc, they help in detoxification, and you might also need sometimes very high doses of antioxidants, particularly vitamin C. So I would say vitamin C, most of my patients and many who are vitamin C aware would be taking about 1 gram of vitamin C a day as adults, which is fantastic. So, and the Ayurvedic combination of Trifala, Haritaki, Bibitaki, Amalaki, where Amalaki is Amla, or Indian gooseberry, which has very high ability to give you that vitamin C and also act as antioxidant, even if the vitamin C level is depleted due to, dehydrating amla, would still work very well. So these are the various ways how we can help our body detoxify heavy metals. I hope, you know, this episode has given you a greater awareness on to looking for heavy metals in our food and how to detoxify. Do stay tuned to Are You Well? And I'm going to be speaking again with you with another topic where we are going to look at the wisdom of Ayurveda and how to maintain our health in our modern day life. Thank you.